Welcome to Lawmen, a podcast about local legends and obscure curiosities from days of yore. I'm Alistair Beckett King.
And I'm James Shakeshaft.
And in this episode, James, I've taken the format and I've thrown it out the window.
Oh, well, I hope you backed it up beforehand.
I certainly did not. I've defenestrated it with a flagrant disregard.
Did you at least eject it safely?
I never do.
Oh, is there a non-sweary word for... Because that is what you are.
This story comes from the Isle of Wight and it is... The Mystery of Lucy Lightfoot.
Ooh, I'm excited.
It's the mystery of John Fake Name. My good friend James Shakeshaft, hello.
Hello, Alistair Beckett King. My good frenemy.
Friend, okay. I thought you were about to acquaintance me there.
My good co-worker.
Ooh, that hurt. That was painful. I've decided to mix it up.
Oh, go on.
I've decided to mix up the format.
Yeah?
Yep, because to quote the 90s band The Wild Hearts, don't try rules, for they do not apply.
Ooh.
Yeah, I can't think of a more 90s lyric than that.
No.
Don't even try rules. Sorry. Are you trying rules? Big mistake.
The most 90s lyric would just be, don't try.
So, don't try rules, they don't apply. I'm going to score my own story in Supernatural now. Start of the episode.
Whoa.
Zero.
Whoa.
This has no Supernatural.
Oh.
But the reason for that is that I'm not giving you folklore, I'm giving you some hoax lore.
Hoax lore?
Yeah, I am consciously and deliberately giving you a story which isn't true. Unlike the usual stories we tell on the Lawmen Radio Hour, which are...
Also not true.
Solid, verified, come out of books and everything.
They're just older.
This is flim flam. Excuse my language.
Flim and flam.
Both flim and flam.
Whoa. Spoiler warning, it's flim flam.
Flim flam warning.
Flim flam. What's the flim flam level? It's flim flam.
There's a message coming out. It's too much static. Flim flam.
Is that one of those EVPs? Flim flam.
Okay, so I think that's warned people sufficiently.
Yes.
On the Isle of Wight.
Oh, yeah. That exists.
Yep, that's real. That's real. No, I'm not an Isle of Wight truther.
I've been there. Although it's falling into the sea.
Is it?
But presumably only half of it is falling into the sea.
Yeah, erosion and deposition.
It's the half that they built the theme park, Black Gang Chine, on.
What's the name of the theme park?
Black Gang Chine.
Have you told us about that before?
Yeah, Black Gang Chine.
What? I don't know what word you're saying.
I'm saying three different words.
Right.
Black.
Black.
Gang.
Gang.
Two words, that makes sense. Okay, that sounds like a thing.
Yep.
And then the word chine.
Chine?
Yeah, like chime, but with an N.
And what is Black Gang Chine?
It's a theme park. It's the most scattergun theme park. It's got dinosaurs. It's got pirates.
Worse than Mr. Blobby World.
Well, no, that had at least had a consistent theme.
Mr. Blobby.
Mm. Whereas this has a consistent theme of anything that kids like at the moment. E.g. pirates, e.g. dinosaurs. And things falling into the sea, they've made a feature of.
Yeah, that's nice.
We have talked about it before, but I think that's just enough of a recap.
Great. So on the Isle of Wight, there's a church called St. Olave's Church. It was built in the 13th century. It is on the elbow crook of Gatcombe Road.
Mm.
So it's named after St. Olaf, who, as we all know, is King Olaf II of Norway.
Oh.
Famous for Christianising all of your Viking fellas. Actually, a tiny, tiny, tiny little droplet of Supernatural. He tricked a troll into building a church for him.
Ha ha! Unlucky troll.
The troll was called Sigga, and he told the troll to build the church. The troll would be given either the sun, the moon, or the king's soul if he could build it in a very short space of time. Being a troll, that was no bother for him, and the king was getting a little bit ha ha ha, a little bit tight around the collar. But then he found out the troll's name and just said the troll's name, Sigga, and the troll turned to stone.
What? So that's not really tricking.
Yep, that's basically not paying your contractors. That's how Donald Trump does it.
What, did he turn all his contractors to stone?
Yes, he turned them to stone by finding out their names.
That's not good business practice.
No, it is not.
That's not tricking someone. If you get someone to do a job and then murder them before paying
them.
No,
it says here on my notes, it says tricked the troll.
Oh, okay then, you wrote that down.
I wrote it down.
You wrote that down in good faith.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry, does Microsoft Word mean nothing to you? Yeah, I've got it written down right here.
That's like getting Clippy to help you write a letter, then uninstalling it before you can thank it.
So that's St. Olaf's Church. Another fact about it is that the bells are hung dead. Which I thought, oh, this sounds good, but that just means that the clappers move, but the bells don't move.
Oh, that's like all bar bells, as in
bar bells,
not the weight, the bell that you find in a bar.
Yeah,
you know, when they call ring last orders. So that's what that's called. That's called hung dead.
And that's why communion's so quick at St. Olaf's, because they're like, bing, bing, bing. And everyone's like, oh, quickly, drink up. down in one. Knocking back the communion wine. I don't know. I don't know much about communion. I've never taken the sacrament.
Oh, I have, but I don't think I'm...
Have you? What does it taste like? It
tastes like blood. Oh, it's really the worst wine.
Not impressed with the blood of Jesus there.
And the wafer is the driest thing known to man.
Well, he did die a long time ago. Is it wafer first, then a bit of wine to knock it back, a bit of wine to wash it down?
I can't remember, actually. When I go to, like, Japan and the shrines in Japan, there are little things that you're supposed to do before you go up to the shrine. Like, there's a thing where you wash your hands and wash your mouth out. Wash your mouth out before you go up to the shrine. There's a little spring that you do that for.
In case you've been swearing outside the shrine.
Or touching swears. And there's also, like, some smoke that you breathe in as well that's meant to be a purifying thing. And I do that because, like... Oh, it's fun to do a little tradition thing. And then I was in like a standard church and I was like, I haven't actually ever taken communion before.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's see what it is.
That seems reasonable.
Bad wine. Bad wine and dust.
That's what you get if you join our Patreon, isn't it?
That's what the name of the tell-all autobiography. Bad wine and dust. A year on the road with the lawmen.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, guys. Mm. And on that note, the Chillerton Gatcombe Parish Newsletter is my source.
CGPN.
Are you an avid reader? Do you take the CGPN?
That's where you get the real stories.
Yeah, throwing the FT out the window. Mm. Forget about that. Get me the Chillerton Gatcombe Parish Newsletter, specifically spring 2012.
So, I mean, some people think that the Times cryptic crossword is like one of the most difficult things.
Yeah.
But the Chillerton Gantry Patrick...
Chillerton Gatcombe Parish Newsletter...
Spot the difference is somewhere else.
Yeah, they printed mean word search.
It's full of typos.
It is a very serious publication. Mm. This edition includes a very angry letter to the editor about whether people on the Isle of Wight are known as corkheads or calves.
Corkheads?
Cork.
Oh, cork.
Like what you would use to seal some tiling in your bathroom.
Uh-huh.
Corkheads. Mm-hmm. Local man Derek Sprake, presumably local man, otherwise extremely interested in this man, Derek Sprake, who, among other things, insists that it's called the Isle Wight, not the Isle of Wight.
All right.
Seemingly. Thus spake Derek Sprake. Most islanders call their residents after an animal. Guernsey people are called donkeys, those from Jersey are toads, and we are calves.
What?
So take it up with Sprake. Got a problem with that, James. Take it up with Sprake is what I would give him an article. I would give him a regular column in the Chillerton Gatcombe Parish Newsletter.
Yeah.
Called Take It Up With Sprake.
Sprake it up, lads.
So the story that I want to tell you is called The Mystery of Lucy Lightfoot.
Oh, yeah.
First published in a pamphlet in the 1960s by the Reverend of St. Olave's Church, James Evans.
Mm-hmm.
Reprinted in the Chillerton Gatcombe Parish Newsletter, spring 2012. And it tells a story of a young woman called Lucy Lightfoot. She was, and I quote, "the most attractive young person, vivacious and romantic in spirits, a fearless horsewoman. Her dark beauty and passionate nature captured most of the young men's hearts in a whole district and even far afield."
So she's a horsewoman.
Sorry, that means that she was good at riding a horse.
Oh, right, okay.
Not a centaur.
You said she was a horsewoman and then said she was called Black Beauty or something.
They're a kind of moving chair, horses. And
so moving.
She got a lot of attention from the boys, the lads, the gentlefolk.
The calves.
The young calves, hanging about, leaning on fence posts, blocking up the stile. I'm trying to get across, but they're intimidating me. Wearing their flat caps backwards in the mid-19th century. She wasn't interested in them. She only had eyes for one man. Bad news was that he had died several centuries earlier.
Jesus.
Not Jesus.
Oh.
His name was Edward Estour, who had died centuries before. And I quote again, "he was a member of the Estour family, who built the original Gatcombe House and the Church of St. Olave. And he appears in the church as an oaken carving." You know the classic knight holding a sword.
Yeah.
Lying down, having a little rest.
Yeah.
Dead kind of carving.
Yeah.
As an oaken carving of him.
Did he build the church? Or did St. Olaf him over when he handed the invoice in?
And it also mentions that at the feet of the crusader rests his little dog, Flacon Caprice, which I've already taken a disliking to.
I like it when dogs have surnames. I think I've mentioned before, a friend of mine's eccentric mother had a dog. I can't remember its full name, but it was shortened to Lord Oro.
I'm sure I mentioned that my pet cat as a child, she had a show name from before we owned her, which was Zarina Sandgrown. Sandgrown being, I think, slang for someone from the Lancashire coast. Which she was.
Right.
Chinchilla. Chinchilla cat, not Chinchilla. They'd spot that pretty quickly at a cat show.
Yeah, I mean,
if you just bought a rodent.
Yeah, the other cats would definitely spot it.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. Mess.
You can't just glue four chinchillas together and pass that off as a cat.
No.
Believe me.
Are you trying to get in the life hack business, Alistair?
So, Flacon Caprice, mm-hmm. the extremely unlikable French dog, has his own legend attached. So this is a little side legend.
Mm-hmm.
According to it, once a year on Midsummer's Eve, Flacon Caprice comes to life and dances all night. That's the whole legend.
Oh.
And I had a look at the carving, and Flacon Caprice has... It's not very realistic. He has absolutely massive cartoon eyes. Like, if that dog was dancing all night, you'd be like, drink some water. You don't look great.
What have you taken, Flacon?
You know the dog from The Muppet Show?
Mm.
He basically looks like, you know, Ralph. It's like a carving of that. So, a terrifying image of a Midsummer's Eve. But Lucy was in love with Edward Esther, and she would moon over his carving.
Oh, is that that has a different meaning, doesn't it?
So, yeah, she would, what's the word? She was pining for him, and not flashing him.
Wood pun.
Oh, very nice.
Mm.
Unintentional wood pun. And now it gets very specific and detailed. Quoting from James Evans's account, on the morning of June 13th, 1831, Lucy was seen entering the church at about 10:30 a.m. after tethering her horse outside by the gate. Later, inquiries revealed that Lucy had intended to call and see her friend, Marjorie Braithwaite, who lived at Chillerton Green. Whilst Lucy was in the church, suddenly there broke out a violent storm, which lasted for 2 hours. And to add to the terrifying experience, there came a total eclipse of the sun at 11:10 a.m. This lasted for 40 minutes.
40?
40.
Wow.
This storm and the eclipse were unique within the living memory of the oldest islander. So literally no one on the Isle of Wight had heard of such a heavenly conjunction.
Mm.
And young and old were terrified at the intensity of the storm and the darkness. According to one account on the website of a hotel, so that's pretty authoritative.
Eesh, yeah.
According to one account, only Lucy's horse, tethered outside, saw a strange glow emanating from inside the church. And I think it's at the point where you are typing the words, only Lucy's horse saw something in what is supposedly a true story, that you should start to question how you got that information. Like, if only the horse saw it.
And why are you reporting it in a TripAdvisor review?
So we don't know what the horse saw, but we do know that later that day, farmer George Brewster found that self-same horse, moving chair, still tethered outside the church. But Lucy was nowhere to be seen. They searched within and without the church. In fact, she was never seen again.
Oh.
In that century.
Oh.
The rector did discover, I'm quoting again, the rector did discover that the steel dagger that the young crusader held in his hand was shattered to pieces, and that the jewel that had been in the crossbar just above the hilt was not to be found anywhere. It was a fine chrysoberyl stone set in a lodestone engraving.
She's robbed it.
That is where the Chillerton Gatcombe Parish Newsletter Spring 2012 leaves the story. You're going to have to wait, James, for the much-anticipated sequel in the Chillerton Gatcombe Parish Newsletter Summer 2012.
Cliffhanger.
It begins brilliantly with, you'll remember the story of, it's like it was 3 months ago.
Where are the answers to the spot the difference?
It begins by telling you, in the year 1865, a certain Reverend Samuel Trelawney, a Methodist minister on the Scilly Isles, which is a best named island, became interested in the history of the Crusades, and he discovered through his researches the name Lucy Lightfoot. She was none other than the loyal wife of Edward Esther.
What?
Yeah. She followed him around as he went around crusading. And there's quite a lot of detail of what the heroic things he did. But in retrospect, a lot of it is just killing Muslims for a laugh.
Yeah.
So it's very hard to get too excited about the Crusades these days.
Not that heroic.
No! What happened? It seems almost as if Lucy Lightfoot were transported back in time.
Oh.
James Evans speculates, how could it be that Lucy entered the church in 1831 and vanished only to reappear in 1364? It has been suggested that in the four-dimensional space-time continuum in which we live, this guy's a vicar.
Go on.
In the 60s.
Yeah.
Matter itself is a kind of kink in the space-time manifold. And where kinks occur, space is distorted. and even so-called time itself, so-called time, becomes curiously mixed up. A unique tropical storm with its vast discharges of natural forces, a total eclipse with outpouring of radiation from sunspot effects, an adventurous lady passionately longing for adventure with her loved one, all triggered by a disintegrating lodestone letting off enormous magnetism. Could explain the mystery.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an amazing story considering the previous pieces about how Jess Baker, age 10, likes May Day. And the next one is about how a local man, Charlie Summerfield, has got a bike. It's pretty big stuff. But, and this is what's going to shock you, it's not true.
What?
James Evans made up the story to raise funds for the church. It was never meant to be taken seriously as a real story. But such is the nature of lore, it has become a legend and is frequently repeated as a genuine legend.
That's pretty impressive that he made
that. So on that hotel website, which has its embellishments, like what the horse was thinking in that story, someone has added in the details of what the horse was thinking.
They're angling for a spin-off, horse-based spin-off, aren't they?
Yeah, it'll be like a Rashomon thing, and one episode will be from the horse's point of view.
Yes, the bottle episode. It's mostly about hay.
I hate flashback episodes. Every show seems to have one now.
Yeah.
They'll get you to a really tense point, there'll be a cliffhanger, and then the next episode will be a flashback to ages ago.
Yeah.
Just to pad it out.
Yep.
Can't be bothered with that. What's happening in the present?
Looking at you, Bly Manor.
Yes, I am looking at you, Bly Manor. They won't be able to understand our accents.
Yeah. If we talk fast enough, they won't understand us. So it was a made-up thing that became...
Yeah. The legend escaped.
Wow.
It happens all the time.
It's sort of like Slender Man or something nowadays.
Annoyingly, it's sort of a potential explanation for all folklore, is that some cheeky wag made something up and then a gullible nitwit went, oh!
Let's make a podcast about it.
Yeah, two idiots went, sounds legit.
The thing about them is that a lot of them have come from some sort of event. Or it's used to explain a phenomena or a physical thing. Whereas this was a bored vicar.
The church is in the middle of nowhere on the Isle of Wight.
Yes.
There's not a lot on.
Because of the subsidence could very soon be the edge of nowhere.
Absolutely.
When you mentioned you were going to do a hoax this episode, that got me quite excited because I'd got into hoaxes a bit recently. I'd been sniffing around the hoax area. Is that a thing? Because of the various lockdowns, myself and my wife have taken to having a cocktail night every week.
Oh, yes. Very sophisticated.
Very sophisticated.
Similarly, in our house, you know the little Q-tips, the little earbuds come in a little cup.
Mm-hmm.
When Rachel asks me to pass them to her, I now say, Q-tip for the lady, like a waiter.
Do you sort of hold it against your other hand to sort of show off the label?
And then she can just try one, and then she'll say, yeah, leave the packet.
Yeah.
So you've got to do something, haven't you?
You have to brighten the days.
Yes.
Because we now can't go to Wapping Station anymore.
Previously, the only thing that was in our lives giving us joy.
Yeah.
Wapping Station has been taken from us.
Yes. And now, because, like, there's so many different cocktails, but as you probably guess from the fact that I do a folklore podcast, I quite like the old school ones. So, like, the original cocktails.
Mud.
Just dust.
Grass water.
Yeah. The original cocktail.
Noah knocking back glasses of stuff on the ark.
Yeah, so I did one. I looked up the Tom Collins, because that's like a classic old name of a cocktail. And
righto.
What kept sort of catching my eye on the like Wikipedia page or whatever was Tom Collins hoax.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, what's this?
Is he when he's at home?
Yeah, I looked up what the Tom Collins hoax was. The Tom Collins hoax of 1874, it was basically, it happened in America. People would go into bars and go up to a stranger and go, have you seen Tom Collins? And they'd go, what? No, what are you talking about?
So that's the end of the hoax.
Oh, no, the next... And then they go like, oh, well, he knows you. He's just round the corner. He's been slagging you off.
Oh, Tom Collins has been calling you?
Yeah.
That's how we'd say that in Durham. Oh, Collins is calling you?
He's been coating you right off, mate. Right off, geese.
He's mugging you off.
But it's in America, so it'd be like, he's saying bad things.
Hey, you look like a pretty straight bird. This Tom Collins has been kicking your name up and down Main Street.
Yeah, you seem okay, but Tom Collins, he don't like you. It was just a random bit that you could do on strangers. Say, like, have you seen Tom Collins?
I mean, calling it a bit is a bit of a stretch, isn't it?
It seems that I couldn't find any specific examples, but newspapers got in on it and started printing stories of sightings of this Tom Collins, kind of as a joke.
I won't take it seriously until I read about it in the Chillerton Gatcombe Parish newsletter, but it's It's fascinating nonetheless.
Also, I found out a fun story about why the Tom Collins is called the Tom Collins.
The cocktail already existed before the hoax.
The cocktail already existed.
Oh, yeah.
And people aren't really sure where it got its name from. In fact, the one person that went on record saying he thought he knew where it got its name from was a chap called Sir Morrill McKenzie. He was an expert on the larynx.
Someone's got to be.
And he had an ongoing running battle with German doctors.
With all German doctors.
With all German doctors.
Oh, that is a lot of angry eyes behind little round spectacles. I don't know if I could face that.
He'd also claimed that the Tom Collins was named after a song called Tom Collins, and he was called out in Punch magazine in 1891. And they pointed out that the song was called Jim Collins.
That's like being cancelled on Twitter these days, being called out in Punch.
Yeah, exactly.
It's basically a satirical take on the Chillerton Gatcombe Parish newsletter.
If I may, the actual song was called Jim Collins, and it went... My name is Jim Collins, head waiter at Limmer's, the corner of Conduct Street, Hanover Square, and my occupation is serving out liquors to such sporting coveys as chance to come there.
That was lovely, by the way.
Thank you.
There's an alcoholic connection, then, between Jim Collins.
And Tom Collins. Well, yeah, they think that the Tom Collins was so named because it ended up using a slightly different type of gin, which is called Old Tom Gin, and then they renamed it. In the way the cocktails are.
Right.
But an American later pointed out, and I'm going to do my American accent now. That was my London accent.
I'm very excited.
The origin of the Tom Collins remains to be established. The historians of alcoholism, like the philologists, have neglected them. But the essentially American character of this and other drinks is obvious, despite the fact that a number have gone over into English. The English, in naming their drinks, commonly display a far more limited imagination. Seeking a name, for example, for a mixture of whiskey and soda water, the best they could achieve was whiskey and soda. The Americans introduced the same drink, at once gave it the far more original name of highball.
Wow.
So...
I thought you were going to try and sell me Bombas socks for a second.
Oh, yes. Casper mattresses.
The point there is apparently that calling whiskey and soda a highball is better than calling it what it is.
Yes.
Come on, America, that's nonsense. There's not a ball involved at all.
He's sort of implying that if the Tom Collins had been invented in England, it would be called gin, lemon, sugar and fizzy water drink.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that?
That's true. It explains why American sports teams are called things like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, the Colorado Eaglenecks.
Yeah. And we've got Sheffield Wednesday. It's the most depressingly named team. So-called because they played on a Wednesday.
That makes sense, yeah. Nottingham Forest, so-called because they're made of wood.
Yes.
Team of Scarecrows.
Yeah, Team of Scarecrows, yes. But while we're on hoaxes, friend of the show, Michael Legg.
Oh, yeah.
He made up a hoax person, weirdly enough, in spring 2012.
The very year that the Chillerton yes. Gatcombe Parish newsletter... published the story of Lucy Lightfoot.
Coincidence? 100%, yes.
Definitely a coincidence.
On February 24th, 2012, he did a tweet saying, sad to say, Greg Jevin, a man I just made up, has died. Hashtag RIP Greg Jevin.
I imagine that would have been the end of the matter.
Oh, no. People got on that bandwagon. And there's some really very funny tweets about him saying, like, one in particular, I don't know how I'm going to break the news about Greg Jevin to my kids. He was their role model, as they are also made up. I read someone did a very funny one that sort of ended with, like, he was no age. And then there was obviously the backlash of people saying, like, you didn't even know about Greg Jevin before he died.
I saw there was a Guardian article about it,
yes.
Inexplicably. I saw he had a filmography, Greg Jevin, including the film Tears from a Face.
Someone tweeted, loving all the people asking who is Greg Jevin, but then did any of us really know?
So he's the Tom Collins of early 2010s Twitter.
Yes, yeah. And it still goes on to this day, to every February 24th.
Every Midsummer's Eve, Michael Legg comes to life and just romps about.
With his bugging eyes, people will, you know, remember Greg Jevin. And it's coming up, so I'd ask you, the listener, to, on February 24th, just pop out a little hashtag RIP Greg Jevin.
Yeah, let's remember Greg Jevin.
Let's remember remembering Greg Jevin. And now on the podcast, we're going to have a minute's silence, which you might want to skip.
Very few podcasts are brave enough to do that. You told me about the Greg Jevin
yes.
debacle.
Yes.
I didn't know anything about it. So I reached out to Michael Legg himself. and asked him if he had an on-the-record comment.
Mm.
And he said, "I have to say that I meant to message you yesterday. For the past few years, any time I see anyone with long red hair, I immediately think they're you. I have a moment of delight and then disappointment. This has now evolved to any time I see anyone with hair. It's become a roller coaster." That's all he had to say on that matter. So, Leg remaining tight-lipped.
Yeah, he's classically evading the question there by complimenting you.
Yeah, exactly. I was complimented, so I didn't notice.
Yeah.
I think it's time for some scores.
Yeah, let's do some scoring.
Let's get it out of the way.
Yeah.
I've already told you the answer. Supernatural.
What? It's, you get one.
What? Am I getting one? For what? For the troll?
The troll.
Ooh, thank you.
We can't say that's nothing. We can't say that there's no supernatural involved in that.
Are you telling me there's no trolls, James?
No, opposite.
All right. Great. 1 out of 5 for Supernatural. That's
yes,
more than I was hoping for.
Unexpected.
Brilliant.
One. Okay,
yeah.
Next one.
Get in. Next one. Names.
Right. What's the newspaper name again?
It is called the Chillerton Gatcombe Parish Newsletter. Chillerton and Gatcombe have worked together.
Ah, I thought it was three people, Chillerton, Gatcombe and Parish, and they were just giving out a newsletter about their lives. To be honest, I supplied you with a lot of the names as well.
Black Gang Chine,
Tom Collins, John Collins.
I did Flacon Caprice.
What's she called? Lucy Lightfoot.
Lucy Lightfoot, that's a lovely name. We've got Colkheads, Calves, Toads, Donkeys, and Jess Baker.
The Reverend Samuel Trelawney of the Scilly Isles.
I think that,
come on.
The problem is, to make a good hoax, the name has to be very believable.
Oh, so you think the alliteration has made it implausible?
Lucy Lightfoot, that kind of pops out a little bit as a kind of thing. Whereas Tom Collins...
believable.
That sounds like a name. Maybe even the fact that it is also the same name as a drink is a kind of double bluff.
Like Aquafina. But Edward Esther, he's a real person and he's got an alliterative name.
He does. He's got unimaginative parents, yes.
Double E. It's probably what the dog was on.
I think it's going to have to be an average score.
Okay.
I'll give you 3, because the point of hoax names is that they are distinctly average.
Yeah. You're right. Okay. But next category, hoax.
Hoax?
I've packed it full of hoax.
And it was for a good cause as well.
Yeah.
Not like that pesky Michael Legg playing with our feelings. Was it meant to be a hoax by the vicar, or was it in the fiction section and people misunderstood?
I think it was meant to be fiction. I don't think he expected people to take it seriously, to be honest. But he's added so much detail, like the time she went into the church. You knew what you were doing, James Evans.
Maybe he's just sort of padding it out. Maybe he was supposed to have an expose on the BMX track. Nothing happened, so he had to make up a story.
But that's not how you write stories. Like, Charles Dickens doesn't have... And then Ebenezer Scrooge, at 11 minutes past 12, left his office. Like, you don't say the time that it happened.
You think he was trying
to... He's trying to pull a fast one on you, James.
Okay, then.
This is the QAnon of the Isle of Wight.
It's pronounced QAnon. They just want you to think it's QAnon. Long and short, 5 out of 5 for hoax.
Yeah.
Because it seems whether you intend it to be a hoax or not...
Doesn't matter, does it?
It can still work. It wasn't Orson Welles-ing.
Final category... Welcome to the island.
Welcome to the island.
To be said in a strange voice.
Yeah.
Welcome to the island. Because I think it's got a bit of a Royston Vasey feel, some of these details.
Yes. It's a local newsletter.
To be fair, I don't think any other authors expected to be made fun of by a pair of folklore hipsters, but it's happened.
Almost a decade later.
Yeah. Derek Sprake may be no longer with us, because based on his opinions, he seems quite old.
He's the sort of person that can remember when there was a storm and an eclipse at the same time. Yeah, I love its localness. It's 5 out of 5.
Thank you.
I like that its localness has gone onto the world stage. Well,
is that our podcast?
Technically, it's the world.
Is that how you see our podcast?
People could feasibly listen to this anywhere in the world.
We get like one download in Qatar.
Yeah, 8 people in Japan.
Yeah,
or 8 people who've got a VPN that says they're in Japan.
I'd love it if they met up.
Oh, yes.
The Tokyo Lawmen Society, they meet up, solve mysteries.
Solve us a mystery.
If you're one of the listeners who lives in a predominantly non-English-speaking country, for whom this is a series of exotic mysteries about the Isle of Wight, /Isle Wight.
Oh, Wight.
Isle Wight makes it sound like a monster from an RPG, like a particular type of wight that you have to face.
The Isle Wights.
probably like a low-down one that you just gotta churn through to get your points.
But they drop a spectral sword.
But it falls off the edge of a cliff because of subsidence.
You've been listening to Lawmen with me, Alistair Beckett-King.
And me, James Shakeshaft. Oh, Alistair, I did find out that dog's name.
What was it?
His full name is Lord Pontymore Oro III.
If you'd like to honour the memory of Lord Pontiac
Fireball
the Ninth, why not join our Patreon at patreon.com/lawmenpod?
Mm.
You know how to spell it by now.
If you don't, just Google it. He was the dog that always looked like he had a bit of ham sticking out of his face because his tongue was weird.
Stop describing a horrible dog while we try and raise funds.
We had something excellent sent in to us on the Twitter.
Oh, we did.
By Michael Reeve. Another fun fact, that was the name of my PE teacher.
Oh, yeah.
He told me off once for wearing the wrong kind of shorts. You're only allowed to wear black shorts with no branding. And I had some Adidas shorts with the three stripes. And he was doing the register at the beginning of class, went, "Shorts, James, what's the story?" And I said, "Well, they're like trousers, but not as long."
So what did the real Mike Reeve play stand up? What did he send in?
At M-Y-K-R-E-E-V-E, Mike Reeve, he's a computer wizard.
Not the kind of wizard we normally have on the podcast.
No, he's made a random folklore generator.
Based on the Lawmen podcast?
Based on our podcast. But if you go to myk.ninja/lawmen, you know how to spell it.
You know how to spell it.
Is that the new 2020?
That's the new 2020.
You know how to spell it. And if you just go to that address, you get a random bit of folklore. I'm going to click it now and get one absolutely live. This story is spoken of in Greater London. In 1405, the shape of a witch was seen in the blacksmith's shop. Ooh.
I've got a few of my favourites. Can I share some of them with you?
Yeah.
This story comes from the mythology of Warwickshire. In 1610, a necromancer melted a woman in a barn. This legend is spoken of in Durham. In 1431, a witch called Madame Cady flew away on her besom after seducing some wheat in the manor house of Stanley.
Yeah, this legend is told by the people of Christchurch. In 1738, a druid exploded a witch named Nanny Liliana into pieces on the altar of St. Penley's Church.
I've got an exploding one as well. This legend comes from the mythology of Northumberland. In 1668, the devil himself exploded the town simpleton into pieces on the high street.
I love that it comes up with the devil himself every time.
It's always the devil himself, yeah.
The devil himself.
There is a legend which is told by the people of Leatherhead. In 1451, a large pig gave birth to the second Count of Dorking in a barn. You can really feel how it randomises nouns.
Yeah. This story is spoken of in Kent. In 1646, a warlock received a beautiful stool, said to have the power to heal, from a smuggler on the town common.
Ooh, that one's great.
Mm. I mean, some of these are just fact.
Yeah, we should clarify that none of this is true. These are all randomly cobbled together. It's weird how absolute gibberish sounds exactly the same as our podcast.
Yeah.
So thanks very much, Mike Reeve.
That's amazing, Mike.
And thank you to James PE teacher.
Less so. Less thanks for me.
I'm glad there's a teaching role for people who are essentially bullies.
Yeah, I mean, all the other sort of types of school child are catered for in the teaching industry.
Yeah, exactly. All the bullying victims can go on to teach English, maths, art. But what do the bullies do?
Who bullies the bullies?
PE teachers.